If you will come with me to the book of Hebrews, we're going to take a peek at chapter 12. I'd like to remind you that we are surrounded. Okay? In chapter 12, the Lord speaks by His Spirit about disciplining His sons. Now, if you and I are sons of God, which we are, that means that He's going to allow us to go through struggles that we may not endure or like to endure, enjoy or like to enjoy, but there's a purpose in it with the end results that God wants to really be our Heavenly Father. So, I'm going to start on verse 2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. When you and I get discouraged because we don't understand why the tight space we're in, we're not understanding God's discipline. God is not going to whip you. That's not the way He works. But He will allow hardships so that you will fix your eyes on Him. Again, if that verse 2 is most important, fix your eyes or fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of what? Our faith. Now, how do you get to perfect your faith? By trusting and fixing your eyes on Him. If you look at the problem, what's going to happen is you're going to get discouraged. If you look at the overall difficulty that you're in, you're going to hurt. And you're going to get discouraged. And depression will come in. But if you choose to look to the Lord, and you will remember that He is the author and the perfecter of your faith. A few weeks ago, the Lord was pushing my buttons because of a vision that came. The vision was that over my heart there was a veil, and the armor was leaving my heart exposed. So the veil was covering. So I said, Lord, I thank You that there is at least something protecting. But a few days later, the Lord really pushed my buttons. How many know God can push your buttons? He pushed my buttons and He said, that armor is supposed to go all the way across, but it's not all the way across. And I said, okay. And then He brought me back to Ephesians 6, where the armor is really the shield of faith. I said, oh. So my shield had a problem. It had a space open. So I began to rejoice and give thanks that I had the righteousness of God as a shield of faith over my heart. Well, He took me to Romans 5, verse 1. And I shared that with you guys. That it's by faith that you are righteous. It's not a works program. It's not a scrubbing yourself clean that's going to do it. It's declaring with your mouth that you are righteous by faith. So look at your neighbor right now and say, you're righteous by faith.
You're righteous by faith.
God's got a plan.
God's got a plan.
And He's perfecting you.
And He's
the author.
He's the author.
And He's the finisher.
And He's the finisher.
He's going to do a good work.
He's going to do a good work.
If you keep eyes on Him. If you keep your eyes on yourself, what's going to happen? You're going to get discouraged. If you're expecting someone to take you to the finish line, it's not going to work. You're going to get upset with them. After all, pastor's fault. Sure. How many have ever blamed somebody else for their problem? Ah, thank you. That wife you gave me. That wife is really quite a problem, and the other way around is the husband. Okay. Verse 2 again, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. The joy set before him. What is that joy that was set before him? Anybody got a clue?
The redemption of mankind.
The redemption of mankind. The redemption of you and I. He had a plan from the beginning. And I had a conversation with somebody lately, and this conversation went kind of wild because I was able to share things that were totally comfortable with this individual, and yet I've never met this individual. But our conversation went about the Lord and about how he has a people that are really your family in God. And you can meet someone for the very first time and know that they are your kind of people. And yet you can meet another individual that you've never met before and you know that there's nothing in common with you. How many know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And it's so strange because there's no logic in the mind about it. Because you've never had that experience before. And I said, have you ever had that happen? He says, it's happening now. Now, we had never talked. And I'm not going to go into the details. But we ended up talking about some very serious things. About their life. And there was total harmony. Total agreement. And I knew it. And I said, I feel like I've known you for a long, long time. And he says, yeah, me too. This is so strange. It was strange, and it was God. Now, how's the Lord going to finish that? Because he had already his eyes on Jesus. I had my eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. The two combined. So as we shared and we agreed in the Lord for the things that needed to come to pass, there was a joy that came. And at one point I asked this individual to just lift one hand to the Lord. And I ended up praying for that person. Well, the anointing hit that person. And he says, I feel tingly from the top of my head to the bottoms of my feet. And I've never had this happen before. I said, well, it had nothing to do with me. It has a lot to do with the guy who loves you. It has everything to do with God saying, we have something in common. His name is?
Jesus.
Yes. And we were in him before the creation of the world. We had already been chosen to be brothers in the Lord. You say, well, how can that be? So I told him about Jeremiah chapter 1. The Heavenly Father knew Jeremiah before he was born. He set him into that place where he was supposed to be born. So again, look at your neighbor and say, you weren't born as an accident.
You're supposed to be here.
And God has a great plan for you.
And includes me.
Hallelujah. You understand where I'm coming from? Okay. Later on in this particular chapter, there's a word about a heavenly city. Okay? So, I'm going to take you a little bit further down because I want to kind of share with you a little bit about what he wants. Verse 18. You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness and gloom and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them. because they could not bear what was commanded. That was when Moses was told to prepare the people. It was a time where God wanted to reveal himself to them. And even Moses, in verse 21, said, the sight was so terrible that Moses said, I am trembling with fear. Verse 22 says, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You heard the vision a few minutes ago about a place being prepared for the church. Mount Zion is another word to explain the completed church, the church that is so perfect that it is a church within a church, if that makes sense to you. It's a church that is dedicated to each other, that is in love with the Lord, not in love with self. And its focus is so that everyone will reach the destination that God has, what? Prepared for us. As we fix our eyes on Jesus, the perfecter of our faith. Because without faith, we can't be made whole. Without believing that he's in the process of changing us, we're going to stay the same. But when there is a corporate work being done in a body of believers, there is a nudge that comes in the strangest times. How many have ever had a vision of someone else that needs prayer? Put your hand way up and look around. You understand where I'm coming from? There are times that I may end up calling you out of the blue, and I've done that, because I know that you're in a struggle. But I'm not one of a kind. This was intended for the Lord to work in every heart that's here. You're not an exception to the rule. You are a part of the body. Now, how many know if you got a sore toe, you're going to have a little bit of a limp? We could talk to that to Gail right now, because she broke her toe. And last Tuesday, she bumped it just before she came in. And of course, it was healing. But when you bump it, what happens? It re-hurts. It reminds you that you had a broken toe. No different with the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. Every part of the body is important. But when one part hurts, the other parts are made aware. Amen? Amen? And if you've got a right toe that's hurting, the left foot is going to do double work. Amen. So it's the way it works. And when you come to take a bath, you're going to be very careful to treat that toe in a special way. Because why? It hurts. Well, I don't know whether you're a toe or a finger or a right arm or a left arm in the body. It's not important. What you are is a part of. And that means Zion is a very special place. So I was pressed again to go back to Wade Taylor's revelation of Zion. And I'm going to kind of give you some scriptures that may be helpful. When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. Psalms 102, verse 16. I believe that's part of what he wants to do during this feast, which starts, by the way, very, very much on Tuesday for the Day of Atonement, and then next Sunday for the rest of the week. We have guests coming in. We want to make sure that you are going to be preparing and interceding for each other. Again, within the body of Christ, spiritual Jerusalem, are those who are being especially moved upon, spiritual Zion, by the Holy Spirit at this present time. Spiritual Jerusalem relates to those who are saved, but treat their salvation as being salt, which only flavors rather than permeates their lifestyle. They are satisfied with the promises of the future heaven and have stopped short of the full work of the cross in bringing them to spiritual maturity. So those that are in Zion are going to be looking for maturity within themselves and within each other. They're not going to be satisfied with a blessing once a week. You hear me? There's a church out there that's satisfied when there's a blessing. They're happy with a blessing. They're happy with a little miracle every day just to keep them going. And they're totally content. Zion is going to be concerned about their neighbor. They're going to be concerned about looking to Jesus to perfect whatever's happening in them.
and to use it as a building block for the next level of his revelation. And when I began to declare, I am righteous by faith, I did it out loud, I confessed it out loud. Guess what? That shield closed. I am absolutely convinced my heart is totally protected because I did the homework. But what if I didn't speak? What if I just held it to myself and started to ponder? Well, that's where I used to live. Back and forth. Back and forth. Yeah, maybe I should do this. Maybe I shouldn't. Maybe I should. Maybe I shouldn't. Anybody can relate? How many had a life of that for a while? Thank you. It's not the end of the world. You go through that. However, if you mature, you get to the point you say, wait a minute. This is what God says about me. And this is what I'm going to declare. How? By your words, you will be what?
Justified.
Justified? Amen. Romans 10, 9 and 10. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and what happens?
It's a reality. It becomes your reality when you're convinced inside your heart you aren't what you used to be. You are a new creation. And God's blessings are prepared for you. It's not just for the neighborhood. It's for you. And whatever hardship you're going through, you will endure with what?
Joy.
With joy. Why? Because when you're in joy, there's going to be strength to keep on going. If you're in anger, tell me what happens. The hardship's still there, isn't there?
Yeah.
But it's going to be with attitude. Now, I never expect you guys to have this problem. But when I had this problem, I'll tell you, when somebody was suffering, they were going to suffer too. Because I was going to make damn sure they would suffer equal amount or more. Or you can giggle all you want. For those of you who giggled, because you probably practice the same thing. Not really. Huh? Hmm. Okay. I'll leave it there. But the bottom line I'm trying to tell you is, I had to grow up. I had to grow up. I had to mature. And to recognize that these hardships were designed for me to look at myself from a different perspective. And to look at my neighbor from a different perspective. And God was trying to perfect me in believing that he was going to use all these hardships for his own glory. Out of that hardship, I would grow up, I would become. I want you to just close your eyes for a moment. Verse 28. Just listen to these words. Since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and worship God acceptably, with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. You also heard me talk about the days of awe. This is the season. We've got a couple more days. Things where God will be pressing for you to receive surprises here and there. I always thought they were going to be wonderful surprises. I also learned that sometimes they were crashes. So the bottom line is, we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. If you study the rest of this chapter, you'll get to understand a little deeper what it means. That this kingdom that we are part of, which is the kingdom of God, is already resident within us. We're going to keep our eyes on him, who is the perfecter, and he's the author of what we're going through. He is taking us to a new place. We're in process, and it's okay. We don't always understand the fullness, but we can say, Jesus, by a choice of my will, I choose to trust you. If you've got a neighbor next to you, I want you to join hands with them. Say, Lord Jesus,
I'm asking for the gift of grace.
So that I can build
and be rebuilt
wherever there's a flaw,
where there is
a lack of faith. I am going to keep my eyes
on Jesus,
the author
and the finisher
of my faith. He's perfecting me. He's doing a great work. And I'm confessing now that I am righteous by faith. Because His Word says it. So I'm not what the world says I am. I am what God says I am. And today I'm stepping into my end time destiny. Because God's plan is what I am all about. To let Him do. Far above and beyond anything that I could ask or think. Ephesians 3:20. Thank you, Jesus. Don't stop. Keep healing me. All of what's going on right now. Keep it going. I will mature. By grace. Hallelujah. Ah.